open my eyes to the world. The world that shines in you. Open my eyes to the world. The world that shines in you. Let me see you brightening the air.
That was William Vitalis with his wonderful song, Open My Heart to the World. My name is Elizabeth Joyce, and this program is called Let's Find Out. The focus of this program is to have our hearts open and grow towards a universal, united, loving, kind, forgiving planet. We are entering into a new decade, the terrible 20s. As we enter a new decade, let's all grow to learn how to build and strengthen the new energies coming, strengthen your intuition, and live a peaceful existence free from fear. What strategies, meditations, prayers, and exercises can one use to tap into the higher realms, to receive messages from your departed loved ones? You can find out on Let's Find Out. That's what this program is about, with our new format and our new upcoming guests. Desire to bring love into any situation, not judgment or fear, and work from a happy and love-based center instead of doom and gloom, the ego or fear. This is the beginning of a new age, which culminates in 2038. So, Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to the 2020s. Some of us think that we're living in a difficult time, and some of us think that we're living in an easy time. We are living in a place where light is coming forth. It's a new light. It's called the double helix, and it streams to us from the center of the galaxy. At times on Let's Find Out, I offer a teaching program. I teach subjects that are on a higher level. For we live on a time when darkness is coming forth. And we live in a time when learning is cherished and new ideas are coming forth. And our training is laughed at. And we are told we're old fogies. And we wonder what in the world is happening. There is a battle going on between technology and the human mind. And I'm concerned that the human mind is losing this battle at this time. But it will always win out. The heart will always be there. Integrity, thoughtfulness, kindness, love, and mercy will always be available to us. Change is upon us. The times are changing. And it's time to change. Instead of asking for an easy life, we can argue that it is time to do the hard things in life. And as we go into the 2020s, I'm sure that will be upon many of us. The greatest efforts in human history have been made through hard times. Meanwhile, many of the worst things in our human history are people seeking to have easy lives at the expense of others. Look at the human trafficking. Look at the crime that is happening every day. If we look at history, we will see that our greatest accomplishments and the greatest changes in human life have come through very difficult choices. It's never easy. It's not a punishment to have to do hard things. It's a challenge. Can you figure this out? Can you bring something new into your world? And how are you going to do that? Will you do that through meditation? Will you do that with connecting to the higher forces? Will you do that with using this beautiful energy, the double helix that's coming in from the center of the galaxy? Why is this energy coming forth? And why was it predicted for years and eons before this opening occurred? Not to keep the older ways of life where people were looked down upon, used, punished, put in slavery, but to create new and challenging and uplifting and higher ways of living. Why don't you try this? Try setting your life goal on something that's hard to do. Even if it takes a while, go for it. Do something for others and don't do something just for yourself, because helping only yourself is easy. It's called self-centeredness. But look for something very worthwhile, not to make your own life easy, but also to help others. Let's Find Out has found that the only thing stopping one from accomplishing is not doing it. The only thing stopping kindness is not doing it. The only thing stopping being patient with another is not doing it. The only thing stopping forgiveness is not doing it. The only thing stopping mercy is not doing it. And the only thing stopping your learning and growing is not doing it. And the only thing stopping love one another as I love you is not doing it. Doing a hard and difficult task has brought us here today to the program of Let's Find Out. Doing the difficult task has already brought us to what we've accomplished up till now. Well, was doing that hard worthwhile? Was it worthwhile to do what you did to get where you are today? Finally, we have another challenge, and we have a prayer beyond prayer. What we present to the world and what we present to us is love. We are here to love and to serve. As we bring people into our lives, if we realize that we brought them into our lives through our subconscious energy, then we know that everyone in our life, whether they're angry or not angry, came through us and came to us through karma, through the rule of what you put out, you get back. Sometimes we have unpleasant experiences, and that comes from our fear, as we are being taught how to overcome fear. And sometimes we have wonderful experiences, and that comes from our love. Do something difficult. Don't say you're not strong enough. Don't say you can't do it. Say, I can do it, and I will do it, and it is so. I can do it. I will do it, and it is so. Because I know who I am, I know what I am, and I know how I serve. This is Elizabeth Joyce. Welcome to Let's Find Out. And now it's time for tonight's program on bbsradio.com. It's time to take my hand, listen up, and let's find out. Good evening, this is Elizabeth Joyce. Welcome to the first Sunday in 2020. My goodness, we're in a new decade already. That was William Vitalis singing Open Your Heart to the World. And I do love that song. Tonight, we are going to be honoring teachers and appreciating their ways, their wording, and their ideas. Teachers are heroes, for they have touched people's lives in many, many ways. Honoring a very special teacher with the right teacher appreciation and quotes and the message that you have received is very important. I met a teacher when I was doing a fair up in Ontario, Canada. Actually, I met his brother, and his brother put me in touch with him because I had a picture on my table at the fair of Mahavatar Babaji. And his brother was very interested in that and knew that Mark would be. The teacher that I'm honoring tonight is very, very special because these teachers are few and far between. I have lived many years and had many teachers, and there are only three that I can really attribute to opening my heart and showing me the pathway to love. This one is Mark Tremblay, and he is from Quebec, Canada. He is a true, open, spiritual soul, as well as a very strong magnetic healer. He believes in love, in courage, in witnessing instead of participating, and all of the wonderful things that give us the walkway to spiritual pathways. And what I have learned from many teachers, both visible and invisible, are four things: discrimination, desirelessness, good conduct with moral actions, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Discrimination is usually thought to be the discrimination between the real and the unreal. Understanding the difference between your ego voice, which runs constantly inside of you, and that small little voice of your guides and angels can be confusing. You have to realize that there is a difference with these inner voices, and this is what leads you onto the spiritual path when you choose to listen. Throughout the world, there are only two kinds of people: those who know and those who do not know. It is important to realize that what religion a man holds to, and whatever his race is not important. The true and important thing is the knowledge, and knowledge of God's plan for each and everything upon this earth. God has a plan, and that plan is evolution. Once a man sees that there really is a plan for his soul evolution, and what his part is in this oneness, then he cannot help but work towards the plan, and make himself one with it, because it is so loving, so glorious and beautiful. And once he realizes this from within, he is walking the path of love, standing for good, resisting evil, and always working for the individual selflessness. All others who do not know yet exactly what they should do often act foolishly and try to invent ways for themselves to be. They will think there will be pleasure while not understanding that we are all one, and therefore only what the one wills can ever be pleasant or fulfilling to anyone. They are following the illusion of who they are instead of the real who they are. Until they learn to distinguish between the two, they are walking a different path and have not aligned themselves with the energy of oneness. Choosing between right and wrong may not be too difficult for those who wish to fulfill their soul path, and they have already decided to take right action at all costs. However, the body and the soul are different, and the soul's will may not always be what the body craves or wishes for. When your body wishes for something, stop and think whether you are really wishing for it. For you are a son or daughter of God, and you only truly wish for whatever God's will is. Spiritual work to be done, like your daily meditation practice, for example, the body wants to rest or go out for a walk or to eat or drink or do something that will take your focus away from meditation. But you do not recognize this. You may say to yourself, I want to do these things, but I have distractions, and I will do them. But the man who knows says, this inner voice impulse that is wanting and craving is not who I truly am. It is not me, and it must wait a while. Your mental body wants to think of itself as proudly separate and to think much of itself and little of others. This is the work of the ego, easing God out. Even when you have tried to turn away from it and from worldly things, just like a GPS, it tries to calculate itself back and make you think that your own progress is wonderful and the way to go instead of your soul's work, which is always helping others. When you do meditate, it will try to make you think of different things which it wants instead of doing the one thing that you want, meditation. You are not of this mind, but it has been given for you to use. Here again, discrimination is necessary. You must wait and watch unceasingly, or you will wander off the path. The soul who walks the path must think for himself, take full responsibility for his thoughts and actions, for superstitions, which is one of the world's greatest evils, and one of the fetters that you must clear yourself from. Your thoughts about others must be true, high-minded, and you must not think of them anything that you do not know is fact. The student must be in true speech, as well as never exaggerate a story. Never attribute motives to another because you do not know what's in his mind, and he could have some thoughts that you have never even dreamed of. If you hear an unkind story about another, never repeat it because you do not know if it's true. Even if the story is true, it's kinder to say nothing. Think well before you speak, lest you fall into a trap of inaccuracy. Be true with your actions. Never pretend to be other than who you are. All pretense is a hindrance to the pure light of truth, which should shine through you as the sunlight shines through clear glass. Learn to discriminate between selfishness and unselfishness. Selfishness has many forms, and when you think that you are finally rid of it, it will rear its head in another form, as strongly as ever. Degree by degree, your head will be full of so many thoughts for helping others that will have no room and no time for any thoughts about yourself. This can be good. Lastly, you must learn to discriminate in yet another way, the most important way. Learn to find God in everything and everyone, no matter how evil they may seem on the surface. You can be of help to your brother through that which you have in common with him. And that is always using the divine light to find the divine love. There are many teachers and light workers who walk the planet where the qualification of desirelessness is a most difficult one, for they feel they are their desires. If their distinctive desires, their likings and dislikings are taken away from them, there would be no self left. These are the people who have not experienced an inner awakening. Shared a deeply penetrating spiritual experience, or have been in the presence of a light energy, or have been in the presence of a master teacher, where all desire dies except the desire to be like the master. You can, before you attract a teacher to you, attain desirelessness, if you will it. One good example will be that of Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet. It has been said here that discrimination has already shown you the things which must... most men desire, such as wealth and power, are not worth having. When that is truly felt deeply within, not merely claimed, all desire for you will cease. And then you need to depend on the universe and know that you are always protected, you are watched over, and you will be taken care of. All your needs will be met, maybe not all of your desires, but all your needs. If you have truly merged with the energies of oneness altogether, you cannot be thinking of when the self should be set free, or what kind of heaven, or what kind of level you'll be having. Remember that all selfish desire binds, no matter how high the level you have attained. Until you have gotten rid of this desire, you cannot be totally free to do the work of the soul. You will not be able to be 100% devoted to your work. You must also guard against certain small desires, which are common in everyday life. Never wish to be the center of attention or the leader, and have no desire to speak. It is best to speak little. Better still, say nothing unless you are quite sure that what you wish to say is true, kind, and helpful. Think carefully of what it is you're going to say, and make sure they have those three qualities in it. If not, keep quiet. It is good if you start to walk this path to learn how to think carefully before speaking. When you reach initiation, you must watch every word, lest you say that which must not be told. Much common talk is unnecessary and foolish. When it is gossip, it is wicked. So prefer to listen rather than to talk. Do not offer an opinion unless asked. These are the ways of the master. These are the things that help you to attain your higher level and to truly work with the universal spirituality, which is beyond the astral plane, into the oneness and pureness of higher consciousness. A part of meeting the universal spiritual qualification goes like this: to know, to do, to dare, to be silent. And the last of these four are the most difficult of all. The 6 points of conduct especially required to develop desirelessness are self-control with the mind, self-control with your actions, tolerance, cheerfulness, one-pointedness, and confidence. A difficult one can be your inner confidence. And as for tolerance, you must feel perfect tolerance for all, for everything, and have a hearty interest in the beliefs of those of other religions just as much as your own. For their religions is the path to the highest just as much as yours is. Honor all different paths. To help all who are part of this oneness energy, which is everyone, you must strive to accept and understand everything. That means you don't have room for prejudice, jealousy, and making everybody think your way. You just don't have room for it. In order for you to gain perfect tolerance, you must begin to process your inner self in the sense that we all hold on to the past and our early training and learning systems. For without it, we feel unbalanced, we feel fear, and we think we will die. When you first find out that your earth reality has been an illusion, you can really feel overwhelmed. The process begins with setting yourself free from bigotry, judgment, and superstition. Learn that no ceremonies are necessary, lest you think that you are better than others who do not do them. At the same time, do not condemn others who do ceremonies because it's important to them. Allow them to do what they will, but be sure that they do not interfere with you because you know the truth. They must not force upon you that which you have outgrown. Make allowances for everything and be kind to everyone. This is a part of breaking away from the process. This is what we're living now in the first part of the 20s. It's going to be difficult. Change is coming. Develop cheerfulness and understand that you are observing what's going on and you are to be a part of rising people up, helping them get a grip, adapt to the changes, and accept hope and responsibility. Remember what Gandhi said, look kindly and gently upon all and all alike. And here's an affirmation that you can be using during these times. That which I need shall be given and come to pass. For to you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has more within his heart of peace and love shall be given, and he will have abundance. For whoever does not, even that which he has, shall be taken away from him. That is the law of spirit. You will more than likely be tested. Steel yourself if you choose to walk the middle road. And of course, there's the definition of love in Corinthians. But now abide in your faith, hope, and love. Abide in these three, and the greatest of these is love. Remember, as we go through these changing times, do not harm anyone. My teacher left me a wonderful invitation to share with all of you tonight. And he calls it the Spring of Enlightenment, an invitation to hope and responsibility. I will do my best to recite his words to you, for you to think about, absorb, and ponder. Mark Tremblay from Quebec, Canada. One day in his cold agony, winter began to dream of the effervescence of spring. His ice cubes, pointing their gaze towards the sun, saw themselves in their patient hope to become, drop by drop, the precious dew of dawn. More colossal in their winter hold, its glaciers, like children in a frenzied activity, imagining a crazy race, a nice slide, a surge like freedom, an unbridled current of a river. The snow, under the whims of the north wind, swirling with violent vertigo, envisioned in its most secret dreams of setting still, like the peaceful waters of a lake embraced by the mountains. Far away from the polar expanses, the languid ice flows of separation dreamed in the glow of the aurora borealis of a loving fusion with the lapping of the ocean. The only rebels, icebergs, were fighting to conquer the hot tides besieging them. Frost, hail, chill, sleet, all were thinking in their imagination of this mysterious season of spring, when everything seems to liquefy with happiness. From the Arctic to the Antarctic, in the winter, our eminent Lord of the Cold wanders about his own existence. How long would these nights be in the darkness? How long were the nights in the darkness of his questioning at the bedside of his eternal worry? How could it turn into a radiant spring without getting lost, or upset, or bitter? How can one contemplate the luminous beauty of the sun when it seems to disappear at any moment, leaving only scant rays on the horizon? Poor was the hope of the winter, stripped of heat, prisoner of its icy fears, doomed in the implacable law of the climate. Poor is the hope of our humanity, nailed to lethargy, heir to its learning errors, dreaming of a spring green and exhaustible riches. We are living in the winter of our ignorance since the Ice Age. We swapped our heavy rags of fur for light, waterproof cortex in the belief that we could overcome the vagaries of the weather. In the course of our evolution, we have managed to adopt all the vicissitudes of the climate as we dream, just like the winter, of the fullness of a clement season with a heavenly flavor, a paradise on earth. Our plastic icebergs, through the rebelliousness and hope to melt under the ingenious tide of lucidity. They are unfortunate to drift by chance in the currents between the hulls and the seals, between the sirens and the whales, and implore human ingenuity to dissolve them into their fossil appearance in order to return to their original soil. Our deforested trees shudder with isolation and imagine the regeneration of their environment, thanks to the sensitivity of our compassion. They are distraught to hear the sound of the power saw in the distance, to breathe the smoke of distant fires, and beg human generosity to sow a seed of goodness in order to regain the vitality of their commonwealth. Our dumps, true northern permafrost, thawing under the weight of abundance, has always dreamed of being useful to human activity. They are sorry for our indifference attitude towards them, outraged to see their value degenerated, and beg human intelligence to reuse their primary qualities to serve their creators once again. Pollution, pesticides, genocides all want to take up the challenge of a new season in the image of a bright future where everything seems to be transformed into happiness. From the Arctic to the Antarctic, from the polar bear to the emperor penguin, an incredible transformation of planetary consciousness is taking place. While man, our eminent lord of this kingdom, wanders about his own survival, how many days does he have left to answer the thorny question of how far he has strayed from his mission to be the guide, protector, and care for this region, which is our planet Earth? How will he manage to find the essence of his destiny without getting lost in the torments of his anguish? How can he resurrect his universal vision to generate a world of solidarity at the service of the humblest? Poor is the enthusiasm of the man devoid of hope, trapped in the ice of his trapper, and doomed in the implacable law of climate. Yet rich is our humanity, clothed in the most sublime heritage of the earth, free from the inertia of neglect, dedicated to the ineffable virtue of love. Here we are on the threshold of our rebirth. The winter of our gloomy past is fulfilling its dream of spring. These old refrigerated economic structures, with their freezes on the price of oil, deglazed in the sun of renewed energies. The Cold War, from its foreign policies to the realities of nations, is thawing under the unified fervor of men. The ice of the patriarchal dictatorship collapses like an avalanche under the rallying echo of the people. The winter of ignorance comes to an end. The clamor of spring waterfall is heard in the hearts of men, worthy of their divine remembrance. We are only at the first thaw, but already the invigorating scent of renewal sharpens the greatest hopes. But for the worshippers of the status quo, the indispensable guardians of tradition, everything seemed to be collapsing like a house of cards in the wind of excess. Nothing holds together anymore. Everything seemed to be hanging by a thread. It's the apocalypse of the sacred books, the end of the world prophesied since the beginning of time. And yet we are still here, despite the defeat due to our blindness, our fear of confronting our assumed laziness. Without respite, the Master of the North defends his kin. Everything must be sub-zero in order to avoid the new one. No matter the bankruptcy of winter or the promise of a generous spring, the important thing is to control all levels of society. In spite of everything, the wind from the south is blowing its poetry. The old paradigms are shaken in their links. Hibernation is coming to an end. The slow-covered depth of the Borges habits of destroying everything for its own profit is diminishing in the face of the scourge of scarcity, poverty, injustice, and the awakening of sharing. Many mornings are still covered with frost, delayed with the sowing of our prayer for a different season in the misery of winter. Our path has been long and perilous odyssey, and we will pursue with interest this quest of long mankind, his unquenchable thirst to solve the absolute enigma of his appearance, to understand his place in the middle of this great cosmos, and more particularly on this small blue planet. Can he disappear like a firefly at night, after a glimmer of survival in this temporal world? Could it be seed if an immortal tree planted in the black soil of the unknown to discover the splendors of the sky as it matures its wonderful talent for photosynthesis and for transforming light into sugars of ecstasy? Since the first ice age, humanity has faced a hostile yet benign environment, a cynical struggle between tribal life in harmony with nature and individual life in the face of the wilderness. A long epic where the greedy ego and the avid community have merged and fought in a fabulous story of the innate need for personal freedom and the need to universally belong. During climate change, humanity has developed through its wars and religions. From the beginning of winter, the tribes fought continuously until extermination because they were unable to make a connection between them. It was only a little later that they discovered a string that connected them, believing in the same sun, the same moon, guiding them like a god. This mutual information allowed them not to eliminate each other in spite of the battles that persisted because they found a bit of similarity. Then, in midwinter, more advanced societies appeared, building cities and developing more sophisticated beliefs. Religion began to flourish everywhere, but the collective urge to individualize carried with it the belief of an absolute state. And thus did religious quarrels grow in magnitude. Everybody was talking and learning and hearing from their personal gods. Even today, this motto still reigns, caught in the ice of pride, that only my religion is the right one and the only faith worthy of being erected. We are now at the end of winter, the last phase before the two spring of our planetary ascension. The ego of each individual is at the height of its legitimacy, as is the ego of tribes, nations, and countries. The ego lives in the hour of glory, and the community lives in its hours of grief. Fortunately, despite deceptive appearances, spring hasn't had its last word. As winter falls asleep of its own accord, mankind can think of its maturity. We are still a young planet, awakening with our consciousness. And for a long time, we played outside in the snow like little children, throwing harmless bullets at each other. But today, the projectiles are more incisive and even deadly. It was the season of the great cold, of the darkness of our innocence, and the season of the headwinds and the duality of our ignorance. We are now ending the most ungrateful and also the most emotional phase of the adolescence of our humanity. Everything is turning upside down. Hormones are full of goofiest adventures and the slightest hint of a storm. A small criticism lights the fire of anger, as will a bit of humor unleash hilarious joy. It is the crisis of identity, of the painful learning, of the intensity of the ultimate need to exist in ourselves, as well as exist by sharing with each other. However, in the middle of winter, the weather is harsh. Are we going to survive? Do we have enough reserve to get through? Is it possible that the cold will last until we freeze to death, or must we resign ourselves to the whims of this endless season? The greatest dilemma of our teenage insecurity, as well as the ardor of our moments of victory over our fears, propel us into nothingness of our future. Despite his recklessness nature, the teenager is groping between the idea of climbing the snowy peaks of his ambitions or gliding through the valley of opium and freezing his mind in a world of flight, in the virtual spasm of oblivion. Free to choose under the pressure, so many unforeseen circumstances, so much contradictory information, we no longer know where to start or where to end. For a long time in the cold Siberian depths of our evolution, we waited like children, a savior, a father from heaven to liberate us, to warm our hopes. We also claimed the warmth of a tender mother at the hearth of a peaceful home. However, our destiny lies far beyond our dependence on any one authority. We are beginning to realize that we can no longer be victims of our own helplessness. Our legs are strong enough to stand, and our arms are strong enough to seize this opportunity to grow. Moreover, without degenerating the value of our religion, they have not been able to guide us towards maturity. A little warm milk in a cold belly cannot succeed in raising us to our true power. As for our leaders, those illustrious politicians with good intentions and roaring promises, if they no longer drink bottled breast milk, they are just beginning to eat solids and are hardly in a position to cope with this declining winter. Slightly older but still young teenagers who are at least mature enough to babysit, waiting for their parents to arrive. What to do with this winter that lasts through the jolting of spring? Will there be enough mature parents to stem the deluge of snowmelt? Enough to awaken men and women to thwart and break up the ice on the river of life? The question arises, and no one knows whether there will be enough of them to support this transition. We have to rely on ourselves, all of us together, because no economist, despite his genius, can grasp economic fluctuation and global circulation of money. No scientist, not even the most learned, can solve global warming. Neither any head of state, the best intentioned in the world, is in a position to counter the human migration of those afflicted by war and hunger. In fact, no one person individually can claim to know the answer of all its upheavals. On the other hand, the period of adolescence ends at the same time as this painful winter. That would be starting in May of 2020. The fiercest gusts of wind fade away. But at the beginning of every season, winter takes over again for a few days to fight its agony, to taste the one last ice cube of its fantasy before the inevitable appearance of this liberating spring, if so desired. Are we really ready to welcome the sublime green of this enchanting season, to hear the joyful music of the streams splashing on the earth with fertile joy, to taste the loving euphoria of the bird's song, to smell the wet scent of a soil revolution into the breath of a sudden frenzy of spring that has appeared? The answer is obvious. Each and every one of us has suffered and is still suffering from frostbite during this long winter of our evolutionary gestation. We still suffer from the acute pinches of those months of sub-zero. Our faces are tense, wrinkled by the cold of our indifference and by the gusts of our anger and by the cruel blast of our jealousy. All along our journey, snow has fallen on our greedy world, and it keeps falling on the fragility of mankind. From the Arctic to the Antarctic, we've traveled a lot and managed to resolve 1,001 dramatic situations, from fires to floods to hurricanes to earthquakes. Our itinerary has not been an easy one. However, the storms did not dampen our tenacity, nor did the snowpack bury our determination. We have also experienced some grace flakes, some gentle blow of wind in the heart of winter, that have rekindled our strength and reactivated our commitment to continue the work of our Creator. Many times, bursts of snow have strayed from our path, sometimes losing hope of the promised land, but never have our footsteps walked this white carpet without a purpose or without the intuition to serve a force greater than ourselves. Our humanity has the merit of its weakness and the value of its respectable achievements, the humble talent of its learning and the virtue of its efforts to understand its passions on this tiny planet, lost in the midst of the immeasurable immensity of infinity. We have managed to survive from civilization to civilization. As known or unknown races, it is by the addition of our collective consciousness, our ancestral memory stores in the DNA of our cells. Every discovery, experience, ecstasy, Every discovery, experience, ecstasy, or other life that has been lived by individuals is inscribed in each one of us. We are bound like a forest to a single root. We have all contributed to our planetary rise, to the awakening of a humanity on the way to transcending all separations. We have also built this winter abyss as it melts and floods our ship Earth. We also possess the means to plug the holes inflicted by the reefs of our impertinence, the flippancy of this childlike attitude towards our nourishing mother. Our ignorance is not to blame, but to educate. We no longer have time for accusations. Spring is at our doorstep. We can forgive our regard for the past through the innocence of our childlike purity. On the other hand, we will not be able to forgive the voluntary innocence that we are currently developing without our knowledge. By burying our heads in the sand and proudly pretending to ignore our responsibilities while believing, as before, that there are no consequences for our actions. All the clumsiness of our adolescence can be repaired, but the wounds are deep. Hardened patches of ice almost completely cover the secret hopes of our success. Fortunately, maturity is gained through experience, and we have a great opportunity to lay the groundwork to be ready for the revolutionary spring ahead. Are you ready for what's coming in the 20s, 2020 through 2026 and beyond that? Are we going to gather together and work together for our own salvation? This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. I have read you the thoughts of my wonderful teacher from Quebec, Canada, and I will be completing this in another session. Right now, we have to take a break and listen to these words from William Vitalis. He's going to sing the song Everywhere. We'll be back on the other side. Thank you. This is Elizabeth Joyce at bbsradio.com. Let's find out. And now it's time for your weekly cosmic tip. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Stargazing January 5th through January 12th, 2020. It's time to get out the celebration fireworks and tissue box all at the same time. This first full week in the new year of 2020 holds in it two stargazing movements that will shake up and rock your world. Friday, January 10th, is the full moon eclipse in Cancer, and on Sunday, January 12th, is the awaited conjunction of Saturn-Pluto in Capricorn, which can certainly stir up trouble. This second configuration happens only once every 34 to 35 years. So think back to 1982-1984 and the famed Reaganomics, among other things. Cancer is the mother and the feminine sign. We closed 2019 with a solar eclipse in Cancer and opened 2020 with a lunar eclipse in Cancer. This is certainly a celestial tip-off that 2020 will bring forward the feminine energies and feminine power. Women will be highlighted from the beginning through the end of 2020 for sure. We could get our first female vice president, and other female heads of state will be the focus in 2020. All signs indicate that this is a very important year for everyone because, since the karmic nodes have also moved into Cancer Capricorn, we have a new energy, a different focus and consciousness, as well as new opportunities that were not present before. The rare triple alignment of Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto in Capricorn begins now. Actually, you could say it kicked off with the December 25th, 26th solar eclipse in Capricorn. This restructure of your life combination goes on all year, and it officially begins on January 12th, 2020, when Saturn aligns with Pluto. Saturn is the sign of discipline, regimen, and following the rules, while Pluto is the sign of past lives and your karma. Decide what it is time to release with Pluto, as he is the let go and let God planet. Jupiter, the planet of luck and abundance, will bring opportunities that allow you to grow. Jupiter is included in this mix because it will also be in conjunction with Saturn and Pluto. Saturn makes any and all short-term sacrifices for the long-term good. You will have to work hard to bring the full amount of opportunities into your reality. Time to decide what is your responsibility and what is no longer your responsibility. Warrior Mars moved into Sagittarius on January 3rd, and that will last until mid-February. It's time to put ambitious effort into your big and expansive ideas and projects. Then, there's the lunar eclipse in Cancer on January 10th. The female energies always want to bring you your good, and the lunar eclipse is asking you to make the necessary changes to open the door for the new energies to flow in. Uranus wakes up from its five-month retrograde at the same time as the eclipse. This will affect the two heavy-duty planets on the 12th. It's simple. Say goodbye to whatever is necessary to move ahead. You can be nice but firm. However, stay strong, focused, and determined. It will all pay off in the long run. The change that occurs will be life-altering and will have long-reaching consequences. On Monday the 6th, the moon is void of course all day. That means it's not great for initiating important new projects. It's best to work with existing projects and introspective activities. However, Monday evening has the Sun and Neptune playing nicely together, so movies, romance, meditation, and other spiritual activities are favored, or write that screenplay you've been wanting to do. In fact, communication planet Mercury is making nice to Neptune as well, helping you to communicate a higher vision, open your intuition, while expressing compassion and forgiveness. The full moon on January 10th is the lunar eclipse. Part of this energy is to create a balance between your nurturing needs and your responsibilities. Another part is to look at your higher service to the world. What is it you need to do out there while attending to your personal life? There is one more set of Cancer Capricorn eclipses coming this summer at the June solstice before going away for about 9 years. Use that as a motivation to take care of all those close-to-home projects and issues because the tone is going to change dramatically in May, and the pace of your life and outer world is going to increase. Take advantage of this present time to get your house in order. Restructuring Saturn is moving into alignment with death and rebirth Pluto in the next few days. Decide what it is you need to release, and then do it. The moon moves into Leo on Saturday, so make room for some fun, creativity, or other activities that open your heart. If you have trouble sleeping Saturday night through Sunday the 12th, early morning, it's because mental Mercury is very active. It's best to plan to meditate, listen to soft music, and quiet your mind before going to bed on Saturday night. Sunday is an interesting day. It begins with Mercury activity. Lots of talk, restlessness, and moving quickly. Did you run or fly in your dreams last night? Saturn and Pluto align on Sunday as the first step to this triple energetic alignment in Capricorn that's going on all year. This calls you to let go of that which robs your power so you can step into new levels of your authority figure. Be clear about your boundaries and responsibilities. Don't be afraid to appear to be the bad guy or the bad girl if you need to move on from some relationship or aspect in your life and the people around you do not support it. This large, slow-moving energy transition highlights the stock market, world banking, government, and big business. It can bring a global conversion to virtual money like cryptocurrency, trade irregularities, economic downturns, along with the uncovering of corruption and misuse of power. Here's a side note. This conjunction of Saturn, Pluto, and Capricorn will have a polarizing effect on the U.S. presidential race between those who want things to stay the same and those who insist that it's time to get rid of the old ways. With Mercury smack dab in the middle, the impact is sure to be featured in the news media all around the world. Thank you for listening, and I'll have a lot more for you next week. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and now it's time to get back to tonight's program. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. I have a wonderful, helpful, uplifting surprise for you. I had a dream in the full months of 2017 about a tea mixture that I was to prepare. Blended according to Ayurvedic principles and chanting of ancient Sanskrit mantras to assure deep cellular healing and relief from within outward. Elizabeth Joyce's Elixir Tea was born. This tea helps with illness because it penetrates any damaged cells in the body and flushes out poisons. If you are on heavy medication, this tea will be helpful with the effect, creating extra healing energy power. Drink the tea just before meditating or while listening to ascension music or chanting your mantra. The formula came from the divine and contains the holy Tulsa leaf from India. Because these tea leaves are freshly harvested, there is absolutely no caffeine in this tea. You can drink it hot or cold. The ingredients are honeybush, Tulsa leaf, turmeric, lemon peel, cinnamon, ginger, and cloves. This tea is not available in the stores as yet, but it will be very soon. It is available on my website, www.new-visions.com. You'll see the little icon of the tea box on the front page. So pick up a pouch, sit by the fireplace, get comfortable, play Ardas, and sip your tea. This elixir tea will also help you with troubled sleep. The tea can help you relax, to be calm, and to raise your vibration from within. It begins from the heart center outwards. I'm looking forward to helping you with your healing and your work from within. Thank you. If you wish to order the tea, you can call 201-934-8986 and leave us a message, as well as purchase it on the website. Don't wait to get your tea. The healing starts immediately. Thank you. Elizabeth Joyce has just come out with a new bright clearing formula spray. This is a sanitizing and healing spray. It's extremely powerful and great for clearing away negative energy. If you've had a sickness or a cold, it helps to clear the room, as well as areas that have had heavy activity, your exercise area, or perhaps the dining room just after dinner. It is suggested to be used generously as needed to spiritually cleanse an object. For example, if you want to upgrade your crystals, you always do that on the new moon, and you could spray it with the healing spray, this bright spray, put it in the window on a 9, a 3, a 6, or a 12, and let it sit there for 3 hours, and you'll have a new crystal that will be clear for your thoughts and input for the following month. This spray cleanses an object or space of stagnant energy, and you can use it daily in your bathroom area or any area where you feel a tightness, a cloudiness, a place of where you can't breathe well, such as cigarette smoke or odors from cooking. This spray will clear the room immediately. It's also wonderful for body workers, massage therapists, and healers. And it can be used after every client to renew and rejuvenate the room. Elizabeth Joyce's Bright Clearing Formula can be purchased at new-visions.com or by calling 201-934-8986. And now let's get back to Let's Find Out. Are you ready to start your year with Elizabeth Joyce? You have two opportunities to grow and learn. January 23rd through March 27th, there is a 10-week intuitive awareness ascension class. They are held in Austin, Texas, Thursday nights from 7:30 to 9 p.m. You can develop and use your intuitive insight, psychic sensitivity, soul development, and ascension healing with the new spiritual chakras. Learn how to go deeper into your spiritual awareness. For further information, call Elizabeth at 512-305-3233, or you may call her 24-hour answering service, 201-934-8986. And there's more for this exciting time. Elizabeth is having a wonderful weekend winter intensive. It's Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. in Austin, Texas. And the dates are January 25th and January 26th, 2020. Raise your vibration and change your life quickly and with confidence. Know who you are, know what you are, and know how you serve. Find your voice of sanity and clarity within you. The full weekend, January 25th and 26th, is in the afternoons to give you time to meditate and synthesize this strong, powerful information. For more information, you can always go to the website, new-visions.com, or email Elizabeth at elizabeth_joyce.16@aol.com. And again, the phone to reach her is 512-305-3233.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com.
Station 1.
If Internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live Internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out. An honored guest come every Sunday night
at 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Pacific.
If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial
888-627-6008.
Again, that's
888-627-6008.
In the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
Finding my way under wide open sky, I feel new friends in the morning air. Sunrise is warming the mountainside, promising me that you'll be there. Oh, let me run up the mountainside. Something like a first flight is bursting inside. Suddenly I know that you can't ever hide from me. You are everywhere, all around me. You are everywhere, all around me. You are everywhere, and everywhere do I see. Oh, who got my breath going right from the start? The grace into every part of me. Oh, tell me, how can my mind hold the wings of your time unless I spread my arms wide? How will I know your heart is with mine unless I feel you so deep inside? Into stories to tell, who climbs the light ladders in every cell of me. You are everywhere, all around me. You are everywhere, all around me. You are everywhere, and everywhere do I see. You are in every smile. Every stone, every star is made and unmade in me. Oh, you are everywhere, all around me. You are everywhere, all around me. You are everywhere, and everywhere do I see. Oh, I love you everywhere, all around me. I can feel you are everywhere.
Well, we're back. This is Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. And that was William Vitalis singing one of my favorites, He Is Everywhere. So we were talking about what's coming in the 2020s as we begin to grow as mankind. We are about to jump from being a teenager to being a young adult, and we're really going to have to handle things. And of course, maturity is gained through experience. Many of us will speak against the possibility for what's happening that I have described. For many scholars hypothesize that there is no turning back, that we have reached the point of no return, and that whatever we do today will be just a sword in the water. It's up to them to believe in it and maybe even be right. No one knows. However, we are still alive, and the ancient myths are perhaps more real than our modern theories, and we know, some of us, that the gods are still among us. Tonight we've had a lecture series, and we'll continue the rest of it the week after next, because next week we're going to have Frank St. James, and we will be talking to you and answering your questions about what's coming for you in 2020. Now it's time to get ready for the meditation, and we will be listening to a wonderful woman who recorded a fabulous song. It's called One God, Barbara Streisand, and I am sure that a lot of you will have open hearts as you listen to these lovely words and beautiful music. The meditation, again, is Working on Your Karma, and we finish with Richard Schulman, and he says, we can all live together. This is Elizabeth Joyce. Thank you for listening. Happy New Year. May God bless, and I'll see you next week.
Millions of stars placed in the skies by one. Our eyes to one God. So many children calling to Him by many a different name. One Father, loving each the same.
with a choice. And this meditation is called Clearing Your Karma. Do you cringe with embarrassment over something that happened 2 years ago? Perhaps 50 years ago? Can you feel the pain of a relationship that ended badly last month or 20 years ago? These old pains, anchors, and fears and self-judgment interfere with your daily life as you unconsciously react to current situations based on a buried memory from your past. How does the process work? As a baby in the womb, you are connected to your mother and to your soul by cords that nourish and sustain you. They are your connections to the world in which you live while you're in the womb. When you are thrust out of that warmth and safety into a weird, bright light and become cold and feel pain, from the slap to the start of your breathing, you send out cords of energy that the doctor, nurses, parents, and anyone around might help you. You cry for help. You don't understand the pain. For the rest of your life, when you need answers or responses to deep feelings, you send out cords to all people, places, and things connected to that event. These cords stay connected even after death, and these deep feelings continue to have an impact on you. There's a wonderful book that explains this. It's called The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. You might want to read that. The people in your life send cords to you for the same reasons, which stay connected until they are cleared out. By the time you are an adult, you look like a ball of twine energetically, or perhaps a ball of knitting wool. These old feelings program your response to life in the present, and you wonder why you keep facing the same fears over and over and over again. What can you do about this now? How can you clear yourself? Let's begin by using this meditation as one of your gifts for disentanglement. This is a powerful method to clear conditionings and painful feelings that run below the level of our consciousness. There are gazillions of light beings around the earth and in the universe that are present and want to be of help to you. All you have to do is ask. Just bow your head and ask. It's recommended that you lie down on a comfortable surface with your hands at your sides, or you can sit in the straight back chair as long as your spine is straight. This time, let's put your palms down and don't allow any distractions or interruptions. Then say, I am asking the amber light beings and light beings who can work with the amber light beings to come now and disentangle me from all of my discomforts and pain, as well as their causes. I ask these angels to come and untangle my root causes the moment of charge. That would be the first time I ever experienced the pain. Then close your eyes and look at the light behind your eyes. Look at the light patterns. Look at the colors and don't think. Don't try. Just relax. 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 If you find yourself thinking, gently bring your attention back to the light pattern behind your eyelids. Do this exercise for as long as you feel the need or until you fall asleep. Take a deep breath. Relax. Take a deep breath. Relax. Take a deep breath. Relax. This can be done as often as you like, or as often as you can find the time to do it. It is an excellent exercise for undoing karma, helping with your emotional releases, as well as your body temperature, vibration, and heart patterns. It's only an exercise of undoing a roll of yarn.
You don't have to remember the pain. You don't have to see the pain. You just close your eyes, call on the light beings of gold light or amber light, and ask them to come in and undo the knots, untie the knots, so that you can free yourself of these old, outworn, and outdated patterns. That way, a healing occurs, and you have left a void, and the void that is left will attract to you energy and energetic beings in a higher vibration. That's natural law. The gold amber light beings will remove the cord from whoever you are corded to, whether they're alive or dead. They will clear it, and they will give you back the energy. And they also will send the energy that they uncorded to whoever sent it, so that the other being, the being who corded you, can start their healing process as well. It's called untie the knots or unhook the tethering. Take a deep breath. Allow yourself to work on at least one or two experiences or people that have caused this, that you have interacted with, and where you have felt pain. Untie the knots. Let go of the tethers so that you can be clear and move forward into the new you and the new dimension. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Now, as you come out of your meditation and you're quiet and you're refreshed and clear, make a list of every person in your life that makes you feel uncomfortable. And say this statement: I am asking to be disentangled from the discomfort and pain of, and say the name of whoever the person is. And then do each person and do each name one process at a time. And you may have to devote several days to this, or maybe a week or two. Take your time. Don't try to do everybody at once. And remember that you only can do one at a time. Do each name until you feel clear. If you do this every day for the rest of your life, you actually can add at least 20 more years to your lifespan, if not more. These are good years. These will be happy years, and these will be balanced years where you can know who you are, know what you are, and know how you serve. I am asking all gold amber light beings and light beings who can work with the golden amber light beings to come now and disentangle me from all of my discomforts, pain, and their causes. I am asking to be disentangled from discomfort and pain from whoever that person is until you feel clear of the energies that are hooked to you and tethered to you from that person. At the same time, the light beings will return the energy back to the person for their healing and processing, and you will be clear. Clear and free of that pattern. Now remember, as you take a deep breath, release the breath, to give yourself time to feel the healing within you. Once the untethering has occurred, what you need to do is to feel gratitude for the experience, praise yourself for the willingness and desire to release the pain and know that you are fresh, clean, and cleared, as if you had stood under a waterfall and all fear, pain, and tears were washed away. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that this has occurred, and it's even more of a miracle that you have chosen it and desired it. Now allow yourself to relax as we flow into the energies of Richard Schulman and his music. Blessings to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.